We're in Proverbs 16, verses 26 to 33 today. And I titled today's sermon, Avoid Planning Like the Evil Person. Okay? Le llamé al sermón de ahora, Evitar Planificar Como la Persona Malvada. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because Solomon was preparing his children to plan accordingly, to trust in the Lord as they plan to continue to plan and motivate themselves to do the things that God requires so that their plans would come out great. And this is where Solomon is leaving treasures of the word to his kids. Aquí Salomón, ¿verdad?, anda dejándole palabras de tesoro a sus hijos y les comienza a enseñar cómo planificar, ¿verdad?, rectamente, no como un malvado. Y entonces aquí comenzamos a agarrar muchas palabras preciosas. So we get a lot of precious words from Scripture, and I just wanted to share them with you today. Let's start with verse 26 today. And begin today's study of avoiding planning like the evil person. Vamos a comenzar el estudio en evitar planificar como la persona malvada. Versículo 26. It says, a worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. Dice aquí, el apetito del trabajador para él trabaja, porque su boca lo impulsa. Okay, so the first thing I want you to learn from here, and our first point, let hunger for his word motivate you when you plan. Okay, deje que el hambre por su palabra motive sus planes. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because hunger can motivate you to do a lot of things. And it's a great motivator. It'll get you to really work hard for a burrito, right? So aquí la motivación, ¿verdad?, del hambre puede ser muchas cosas. Especialmente si quieres un burrito, vas a trabajar duro. See, but people are motivated by various things, and hunger is one of them. La gente está motivada por muchas cosas, especialmente la hambre, ¿verdad? Now, there is physical hunger, and this is what we all go through when we don't eat, right? And so we can get a little hangry. And so one of the things that the Bible is teaching us is when you hunger for something, remember, there's also the spiritual side. You have to hunger for the things of the Spirit, which in this case, Solomon is telling his kids, look, hunger and have your appetite for the word of God. Salomón aquí le está diciendo a sus hijos, tengan hambre, pero para las cosas espirituales. See, if you look at God's word with tremendous hunger, just like you crave a burger or whatever, and you start getting dedicated to the study of the word of God, things will happen interiorly to you. Well, you start changing your plans. You're not so egocentrical in planning. You want to plan other-centered, caring for others, doing the things that God called you to do to love a hurting world. Cuando estás haciendo estos planes, Dios está cambiando tu corazón por dentro. Cuando tienes hambre por su palabra, y te va a enseñar cómo planear, ¿verdad?, para otros, no nomás para ti. See, when you have hunger for the word, it'll fill your hungry soul. Cuando tienes hambre por la palabra de Dios, va a llenar tu alma hambrienta, ¿verdad? And so, as you fill yourself up more with the word of God, your plans begin to change because you start resting in him. And you start allowing him to do the things that you cannot do when you plan. Lo que pasa, ¿verdad?, cuando confías en el Señor, ¿verdad?, ya no vas a planear en modos que no tienen que ver nada con él. Él te va a dar la gracia que necesitas para hacer planes, ¿verdad?, que lo glorifican. Now, when we plan, remember, we're not supposed to plan like the evil person. Just for us, greedy, or doing things for our own selfish motives. We're supposed to be doing and planning for God's will. And this is what the word is teaching us here. Tenemos que planear para la voluntad de Dios. Ya no planear como antes que éramos salvos. Todo para acá, ¿verdad? Entonces es muy importante entender. Vamos a San Juan, el Evangelio 6, capítulo 6, versículos 32 al 35. Let's go to John chapter 6. Verses 2 to 35. This is where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them these words of encouragement. He says, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will not hunger, And he who believes in me will not thirst. Aren't those powerful words? Entonces Jesús les dijo, en verdad os digo, no es Moisés el que os ha dado el pan del cielo, sino que es mi Padre que él os da el verdadero pan del cielo. Porque el pan de Dios es el que bajó o baja del cielo y da vida al mundo. Entonces le dijeron, Señor, danos siempre este pan. Jesús les dijo, yo soy el pan de la vida. El que viene a mí no tendrá hambre. El que cree en mí nunca tendrá sed. Qué bonito. Palabras poderosas para nosotros. One of the things that Jesus is trying to tell us is that he is our source for all things in life. Lo que nos quiere enseñar aquí el Señor, que Él es el origen de todo lo que necesitamos, ¿verdad? Especialmente cuando hacemos planes. Tenemos que poner todo a sus pies para que Él se mueva. Now, one of the things Jesus is showing us as we plan wisely is that we lay everything at the foot of the cross. The things we can do, we do. The things we can't do, he's teaching us to rest in him, to be able to take care of those things. Una de las cosas que Jesús nos quiere enseñar es descansar en su plan divina. See, Jesus' point was that he was telling the people there, look, Moses didn't provide for you. I did. Aquí Jesús le está diciendo al pueblo, miren, Moisés no les dio ese pan, ese maná del cielo. Dijo, yo se los di. And see, that's one of the things that he was making it clear. He was their provider. It was God who provided the manna in the desert for them. When they had no food, he produced food that came straight from the sky. And remember, manna means, what is it, right? ¿Se acuerdan que el maná que dio el Señor lo dio conforme lo que estaba él criando en el cielo y se los dio? El maná quiere decir, ¿qué es, verdad? ¿Qué es esto? Entonces, maná les dio la habilidad de satisfechar su hambre física. Pero espiritualmente, dice el Señor, yo te doy todo, físico y espiritual. See, and one of the things manna did was satisfy their hunger physically. But he was telling them, I can do so much more for you than manna can. I can meet all your needs. And isn't that true about Jesus Christ? He will meet all our needs. I mean, it doesn't mean an easy road that we'll take. Sometimes there's difficulties. But he's teaching us the more we lean on him, the more we're going to have a certainty that we will get through any storm in life, especially the storms that we can't handle. This is why you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you to take care of me. I need you to provide for me. I need you, Father, to take care of me. El Señor es muy astuto, ¿verdad? Nos enseña que Él es el origen de todas nuestras necesidades. En otras palabras, Él es el que lo va a suplir. Él es el que lo va a llenar. Y hay mucha gente que cuando hace planes se adelanta de Dios. Quiero ser esto, quiero ser lo otro, pero no incluyen al origen del que les puede traer todo paz y toda victoria en esas necesidades. See, there's people who plan, but they don't include God in their plans. And you know how you can tell when you're planning in your own strength? When the word I comes up a lot. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Instead of saying, Lord, will you allow me to do these things? Are they in your will? Am I going to be doing these things because I'm going to bring glory to you? Or is it just me trying to do my own thing and I haven't even prayed to you, Lord, to help me? You know what I mean? So one of the things, the issues is when we have hunger, he says, the more you hunger for my word, I'm going to direct you in my word to do my will. And this is the key for all of us. When we plan, dive into the word and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the insight to be able to learn how to accomplish God's plans. Planning is all about submission to God and submission to his word. El hacer planificar, acuérdense, todo, ¿verdad?, se forma cuando nos sometemos a Dios completamente y para su gloria. Y entonces vamos a aprender, ¿verdad? Entonces, nomás hay un verdadero pan del cielo, es Jesús. See, and there's only one true bread of heaven, that's Jesus. And he will meet every one of your needs here on earth. How many believe that? Cada uno de nosotros tenemos que entender, ¿verdad?, que Él es el único que va a llenar esas necesidades que tenemos. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, God will be there for us. Físicamente, espiritualmente, emocionalmente, el Señor es nuestro origen de todo lo que necesitamos en la vida. And we must feed on Him daily. Tenemos que comer diariamente de la palabra, no nomás un día recordarme y otro no. See, I can't remember God on one day and then forget him the next and think that my plans are going to work out smoothly, because you need to be abiding in the vine continually in order to receive the fruits of the Spirit that you need for wise planning. Tienes que tener tu, ¿verdad?, planificación, y todo se somete al Señor, ¿verdad? Remember, we will never hunger for anything else as long as we feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nunca vamos a tener hambre para otras cosas hasta, por mientras que todo el tiempo estamos yendo al Señor para comer, porque nos guía él correctamente. He'll send you to the best places to eat of the best that he has. And that is because he cares for you. Every single need that you have, he cares about it. No need is too small, no need is too large. No, ninguna necesidad está muy chica, ni otra muy grande, ¿verdad? ¿Y sabes qué te dio más bonito que todo? La seguridad de la eterna vida. La vida eterna es muy preciosa para uno. Está permanente, está segura y es eterna. See, the eternal life that he gives us is a great gift. And one of the things he promises to be with us on this journey through earth and in all eternity. We're passing through here. And as you see, the world is getting worse and worse and worse, more depraved and more depraved. But he's assured us an eternal home through his blood, through his sacrifice. And you and I one day will be in the presence of God. Un día vamos a estar nosotros en la presencia del Señor, y nos ha dado la permanencia, la seguridad de la vida eterna allá en los cielos. Okay, so as you plan, feed on the word. Por mientras que estás haciendo planificaciones, vete a la palabra y llénate, para que te motive a hacer planes que glorifican a Dios. The more you get into the word, the more you're going to make plans that glorify the Lord. Okay, point number one. Point number two, keep your distance from evil people. Keep your distance from evil people. Punto número dos, mantén tu distancia de la gente malvada. Let's go to verses 27 to 30 of Proverbs 16. Vamos a Proverbios 16, versículos 27 al 30. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man speaks or spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eyes does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. El hombre indigno urde de él, y sus palabras son como fuego abrasador. El hombre perverso provoca contiendas, y el chismoso separa a los mejores amigos. El hombre violento incita a su prójimo y lo guía por camino que no es bueno. El que guiña los ojos lo hace para tramar perversidades, y el que aprieta los labios ya hizo el mal. Okay, let me explain this, these verses to you. Okay, one of the things it says in verse 27, it says, a worthless man digs up evil. Dice aquí en el versículo 27, ¿verdad? Algo interesante. Dice, el hombre indigno urde de mal, ¿verdad? Y es una de las verdades que miramos. Un hombre que anda laborando, ¿verdad? Que no es bueno, que no es nacido de nuevo como hijo de Dios, va a hacer planes con maldad en su propósito. Si an evil man who is not saved, not born again, cannot understand the things of God. So when he plans, these persons that are up to no good will plan evil purposes. And what happens with that is that as the quarryman does, right, digs up stones, this is something that he does because he wants to create that in his life. He doesn't want to do things according to scripture, so he does the opposite. And so he digs up stuff on people, or he digs up things in order to create havoc. ¿Verdad? Este hombre, ¿verdad?, que trabaja así como un hombre de cantera, lo que hace, comienza a escarbar y usar cosas en contra de gente para causar controversia o fricción. Son gente que no tienen valor socialmente. They're people who don't have value socially. Okay, and so people that even their words will burn you. In other words, they're looking for opportunities to be able to frame you or cause wrong in your life to make you look bad. Esta gente sin valor es gente que te quiere poner en situaciones donde sus palabras también te queman. Literalmente, quieren bajar tu testimonio y dañarlo. ¿Verdad? These people love to hurt and harm testimonies. Okay, so it's impossible. Remember, when you play with mud, you're going to get full of mud. And this person that plays like that in life with the dirty things that have nothing to do with God, you're going to get stained with that mud. ¿Verdad? Cuando juegas en el lodo, te vas a llenar de lodo. No vas a poder salirte y no tener lodo en tus manos. Esto es lo que hacen estas personas. El lodo del mundo le encanta estar escarbando. Y cuando escarban, se lo ponen encima y luego se lo ponen en otros. And so these people that work this way, they throw mud, dig up dirt on others, they're eager to share what they unearth. And this is what the scripture is saying here. Beware of those people, keep your distance from them. Aléjate de gente así. Okay, look at verse 28 of Proverbs. Miren el versículo 28. A perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. El hombre perverso provoca contiendas y el chismoso separa los mejores amigos. Okay, so there are people that are dead set on being slanderers. They want to tarnish your testimony. Hay gente que quiere hacer las cosas para lastimar tu testimonio, ¿verdad? And they do nothing better than create strife. Hacen, ¿verdad?, cosas que causan que haya problemas entre las relaciones. Y entonces, ¿verdad?, con palabras falsas, comienzan a levantar a esta persona y muchas veces se separan los mejores amigos por el trabajo que hacen. See, and when these slanderers work, they usually separate good friendships. And they separate them. And this is something that should not occur in the church. In the church, we never badmouth anybody and we never gossip or talk bad about anyone. And this is true for our homes as well. We should always speak with the truth and always speak what God requires of us in order to honor people, not dishonor them. Even if they're bad people, you pray for them instead of slandering them. Si son gente mala, te pones a orar para no lastimarlos y también para que el Señor haga su obra. Okay, you got to guard that tongue. See, because when false words are spoken about a person, especially now with AI and all these things that are in there, that's it. Their testimony is damaged, even though they did not do anything. And they're doing more of that. You notice that as time goes on, with the facial recognition and all the things they can do now, they can frame any person. Even preachers, even people at the pulpit, that they say things that they didn't. And once that rumor is out, the damage is done. ¿Verdad? Son peligrosas las cosas que hacen estas personas, porque ya con la tecnología que tienen ahora con inteligencia artificial y todas estas cosas, ya pueden hacer gente que se mire como si habló algo y no son ellos. Pero así es el mundo ahorita. And this gossip separates not only friends, but it also separates businesses, it separates churches, all these things. Because that's Satan's job. He wants to destroy the church from within. Una de las cosas que Satanás quiere hacer es destruir las iglesias por dentro. Y por eso le encanta cuando gente usa chisme. Okay? Remember, it's a dangerous tool. La lengua es algo peligroso. Es una herramienta muy peligrosa. Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que así va a causar mucho daño en el futuro. Se mira y va a querer destruir la iglesia. ¿Y cómo la destruye? De adentro para afuera. And see, in churches, that's the thing to watch out for. Because one of the plans of the enemy is to destroy the church from the inside out. Let's go to James 1:26. Vamos a Santiago 1:26. Gossip is very dangerous. El chisme es muy peligroso en la iglesia. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is what? Worthless. Si alguno se cree religioso pero no refrena su lengua, sino que engaña a su propio corazón, la religión de tal es que vana. So es muy importante entender lo que hacemos, lo que hablamos tiene que glorificar a Dios. Everything we are, how we speak, has to glorify God. Okay, so look at verse 29. Miren el versículo 29 de Proverbios 16. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. El hombre violento incita a su prójimo y lo guía por camino que no es bueno, ¿verdad? Entonces, una de las cosas que nos enseña la palabra aquí, que los vecinos muchas veces se agarran por tonterías. There's a lot of neighbors that get into fights for things that are dumb. And many times the neighbor knows how to push your buttons. And they do it all the time. Los vecinos, ¿verdad? Todo el tiempo andan donde te pushan los botones y te quieren irritar, ¿verdad? Y lo que dice aquí, que el hombre violento le encanta. Okay? Y una de las cosas que él está buscando modos en cómo te puede ofender para que tú brinques, te lances y luego haces lo opuesto que Dios quiere que hagas. Okay, your neighbors are very important to minister to, right? But there's neighbors that are out and just are not going to cooperate with you or want to even have anything to do with you, and they'll plan things against you. Okay, the Bible doesn't say go out there and put on your boxing gloves and settle the issue. Okay, he's saying be careful. They'll entice you. In other words, it's up to you if you're going to bite the hook or not. You have to avoid it. Why? You're a Christian now. And you have to remember that the testimony that is in your life, you want to share with that neighbor to get saved. But the moment you mess up, you think that neighbor's ever going to come to the Lord once you've done your thing in the flesh? It won't. You have to be very wise because Satan's just trying anything to throw us off. You have to use wisdom, you know, and you have to humble yourself. And it's hard sometimes when you know he's doing it on purpose, correct? No es fácil cuando el vecino te quiere hacer cosas, ¿verdad? Y te quiere que tú reacciones para que tú pierdas tu testimonio. Pero tienes que resistir eso porque esos vecinos Dios te puso ahí para ministrarles. Dices, ¿cómo que ese cabezón me quiere el Señor que ministre? ¿No? Sí, quiere que lo lleves al Señor. Y hay gente que va a tirar botes a tu yarda, ¿verdad? Va a hacer cosas donde van a estar queriendo estacionar sus carros en tu propiedad sin pedir permiso. Hay muchas cosas que va a pasar que el enemigo quiere hacer. Right, there's going to be neighbors that push your buttons. They're going to park in your property without asking you for permission. There's going to be some that throw trash and other things just to irritate you and see how much you can take. But you have to resist that because the Lord wants you to minister to these people, even if they're that lost. And you're going to have to ask the Lord for the grace, right? Oops, I accidentally dropped the rake on your head as I was gardening. You know, you don't do that stuff. You got to remember to be in control. One of the things God wants to do is remember, keep your testimony even through moments like that when there's violent people, because they want to lead you down their path. See, violent people want to lead you down the path, so you lose your testimony. Dice aquí la palabra que la gente violenta te quiere guiar a los sendas, ¿verdad? Que ellos caminan para que tú pierdas tu testimonio. El libro de Romanos nos dice esto, vamos ahí. Romanos 12, versículos 17 al 21. The book of Romans talks to us about avoiding those kind of traps in verses 17 to 21. Romans 12, 17 to 21. Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. That even includes your neighbor. Okay? Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if you and if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Don't throw that rake over the yard. Pay him with the word of God and the testimony of truth. Okay? Nunca pagues a nadie el mal por mal. Respetar lo bueno delante de todos los hombres. Si es posible, en cuanto de vosotros dependa, estar en paz con todos los hombres. Amados, nunca os venguéis a vosotros mismos, sino dar lugar a la ira de Dios, porque escrito está, mía es la venganza, yo pagaré, dice el Señor. Pero si tu enemigo tiene hambre, dale de comer. Si tiene sed, dale de beber, porque haciendo esto, carbones encendidos amontarás sobre su cabeza. No seas vencido por el mal, sino vence con el bien el mal. Isn't that true? If we are going to fight this thing, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And the flesh cannot be present at that time. And it's going to take a lot. You're going to have to go to God and say, you know what, Lord, hold me back. Because right now I want to lash out. And he says, what good is that going to bring? Why don't you pay good to his evil? Why don't you start blessing him, and then you put hot coals upon his head to be able to say, you know what? You can't get to me. I've got the Lord with me, and he's helping me. And he says, feed your enemies. Wow, give them to eat. Clothe them, right? Do the things that your enemy needs. And you go, wow, that's my enemy. Why am I going to do that? That is crazy according to the world's philosophy. But according to the Lord's, it's a correct one. And this is one of the things that is the hardest to do. Because one of the things is we're fleshly. And we want to lash out in the flesh. And God says, do not do it. Never pay evil for evil. Nunca paguen mal por mal. Amen. El Señor no requiere hacerlo bueno. Okay? What he's saying is don't attack the hurting parts of your body because you're hurting yourself. Especially if it's a Christian, you don't hurt another Christian because they're part of the body of Christ. So you continue to forgive and move on. También en la iglesia aplica esto porque si lastimas a alguien en el cuerpo, te estás lastimando a ti mismo, ¿verdad? Acuérdate, si tú pagas a gente por lo malo que hacen, te estás lastimando tú mismo. So you do not hurt people and try to get things and justice in your own hands. You allow God to do that battle. What is God going to do? He's going to repay it. He's going to hold them accountable. And you don't have to worry about it. You just trust God to take care of it. Okay? See, sometimes people, when they struggle and they can't seem to forgive their enemies or other people that have hurt them, many times what God will do, he will not correct those other people until your heart is aligned. Because then God says, look, if I right now have to correct them because of the way you feel, then I'm holding you accountable for having that feeling in your heart when I've just told you, do not pay evil for evil. So God will not many times work in that other person until you let go and you allow God to do it. Hay mucha gente, ¿verdad?, que cuando alguien los lastima, ¿verdad?, quiere venganza rápido, el Señor, tráeles el martillo. Y muchas veces el Señor dice, no puedo, porque si traigo el martillo ahorita y el modo que estás pensando y el coraje que tienes, tú estás acontable por esas cosas cuando yo ya te dije, déjalo ir. Eso es muy importante, ¿verdad?, que cuando estas cosas pasan en la vida, désenlas al Señor, van a descansar mejor. See, when these things happen in life, give them to God, you'll rest more. And you'll rest the way you're supposed to. Look at verse 30 in Proverbs 16. Vamos a Proverbios 16:30. He who winks his eyes does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. El que guiña los ojos lo hace para traumar perversidades. El que aprieta los labios ya hizo el mal. I want you to notice this. Because one of the things that you see in this verse is people that are up to no good always communicate with their eyes, or they'll do things like, I got this, right? And they'll wink the eye at you like, here's the harm coming, right? And so one of the things that God says is be careful, because one of the things are up to no good and they plan to deceive anyone they can. Gente que hace eso con los ojos, I voy a hacer esto, pero te quiere enseñar con los ojos que quieren, verdad, decepcionar a alguien o lastimar a alguien. And notice who the people we've been talking about. Verse 27 talks about the worthless man. Mira el versículo 26, habla de la persona sin valor. Verse 28 speaks of the perverse man. That's why we're talking about evil people. Habla aquí del hombre perverso en el versículo 28. Then it talks about the violent man in verse 29. Y luego habla aquí de la persona violente. Okay? So it's talking to us about the wicked man and how he has evil in his eyes now. Aquí habla de la persona, ¿verdad?, malvada que tiene en sus ojos traumar maldad, ¿verdad? And so his words will be full of destruction. Sus palabras van a estar llenas de destrucción, ¿verdad? El que está planeando con esos ojos, ¿verdad?, está planeando decepcionar a alguien. The one who narrows his eyes is planning deception, right? And so it teaches us, be careful of evil people. Keep your distance from them. Because in their heart and in their mind, they only want to hurt. They don't want to help. ¿Verdad? Dice, tener sabiduría. Aléjate de personas así. See, and evil people will signal other people. Let's do wrong. But remember, we've got the protection of the Lord upon us. We don't have to worry about those things. No tenemos que preocuparnos, ¿verdad?, de estas cosas porque el Señor nos cuida y nos protege. And when they compress their lips, right? That means their evil has already been accomplished. They just get that little tightness of the lip and they say, we gotcha. Dicen así, ¿verdad? Ya agarramos el poder sobre ti, te dimos daño y con los labios te agarramos bien suave. Look at what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says about that. Miren la primera epístola de Corintios 15, versículo 33 y lo que dice. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. No se deje engañar. Las malas compañías corrompen las buenas costumbres. Isn't that true? So be careful who you hang out with. And if you see people are up to no good, get away from them. It's not going to bring you anything good, especially young people. Young people need to make sure they keep friends that are going to connect them to the Lord, not get them further away. And the moment you see that company is doing things to dishonor God, detach yourself from them. It goes for adults and young people. ¿Verdad? Gente adulta, gente joven, sepárense de personas que causan ese daño. Okay, so point number one. Let hunger for his word motivate your plans. Deje que el hambre por su palabra motive sus planes. Point number two. Keep your distance from evil people when you plan. Y luego mantén tu distancia de la gente malvada cuando haces planes. See, if you hang out with bad people, bad plans are coming. If you separate yourself from bad people, good plans are coming. So be careful the company you keep. Cuidado con la compañía que se aguardan. La buena compañía hace buenas obras. La mala compañía hace cosas muy malas que van a ofender al Señor. Y luego por fin, in our last point today in our teaching, plan maturely by trusting the Lord completely. Okay? Planificar con madurez confiando en el Señor completamente. That means that when you plan something, you don't pick it up again. Once you've given it to God, you don't go back, because then lack of trust means you are faithless, that you are not letting the Lord do what he wants you to do. And this is where we mess up. We many times make our plans and then God says, no, give them to me. We release them, but then we want to go back because we don't see God working as fast as we want him to. Muchas veces tomamos los planes para atrás de Dios que le damos porque no lo miramos trabajando tan rápido. And let me tell you why it's essential to wait upon the Lord. Because he's still working within you. There's a lot of impatience. There's a lot of things that you are self-centered, greedy, all these other things. And God is saying, don't you understand? I have to operate on you first before these things will come to avail or to flourish. And many times we say, no, Lord, I'm going to take it my way. And then when things get worse and worse and worse, we're saying, why did I do that? And God says, if you just release him completely, trust me completely, I can do more for you. This is where we struggle as human beings. Como ser humanos, batallamos de dejarle algo seguro allí y quitarnos tus manos. Todo el tiempo queremos ir y rectificarnos tus propias decisiones o planes. Y dice el Señor, no, así no trabaja. ¿Por qué crees que no te estoy dando lo que quieres ahorita? Porque todavía no has aprendido a confiar en mí completamente. Déjamela ir y yo hago lo que tengo que hacer. Oh, no, Señor. Yo sé mejor que tú. No trabaja así. Se cae uno de cara. See, and when we don't release completely, and we don't trust in God completely, then we fall on our face. Because God says, look, it's not only this plan I want to give you. I want to give you so many more. For you don't know the plans I have for you. But the thing is, you've got to allow me to do them my way, not your way. Tengo que hacer mis planes de mi modo, no el tuyo. Right? So verse 31, look at what it says. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. Versículo 31. La cabeza canosa es corona de gloria y se encuentra en el camino de justicia. Está hablando de la madurez aquí. Acuérdense que los hebreos creían que la vida larga era una vida que estaba llena de la bendición de Dios y sabiduría de Dios. See, it's speaking here of Hebrew culture. And one of the things, long life was a sign of God's blessing and also a sign of wisdom. So when he's saying this, a gray head is a crown of glory. Cuando dice verdad que una cabeza canosa es una corona de gloria, está diciendo es bueno. Pero créemelo, yo he mirado mucha gente canosa que no son muy maduros. I've seen a lot of gray-haired people that aren't very wise. There's some that still want to do things their way. And they want to do it their way because they think, man, I've already gone through this life making my mistakes. I'm just going to keep making more. And they're stubborn. Hay gente canosa que son muy rebeldes. Y tiene que el Señor dice, ¿sabes qué? Ya párale. ¿Cuándo vas a aprender que yo tengo los mejores intereses para ti? When are you going to learn I have your best interests at mind? See, mature people should be planning different than when they were teenagers or young adults. Gente madura debe estar cambiando sus planes y hacer las cosas diferente, no como cuando eran jóvenes o adultos jóvenes. Debes de estar aprendiendo, calabaza. Y debes de estar haciendo las cosas más en alineamiento con la voluntad de Dios. See, as you're growing and maturing, you don't plan the same way when you were a kid or a young adult. Your plans are changing because you've learned from your mistakes. And you're trying to say, Lord, I want to align my plans now underneath your wisdom and your will so that I can do things the right way. And this is the key to effective planning. See, mature people plan differently than when they were younger. La gente madura planea muy diferente que cuando estaban jóvenes. How many of you remember that? Right? We made a lot of mistakes in our youth. Mucha gente hicimos errores en nuestra juventud. Ya, graciosamente, I mean, por la bondad de Dios, ya estamos mejor nosotros ya en hacernos tu planificar. See, so we're now getting better at planning because of the grace of God. And see, that's one of the things that I want to also tell young people today. Okay, young people, elderly people are always needed in your life, especially those walking with God, because they have godly counsel for you. The problem with many of the youth today in our world, in our society, is they think old people are outdated. We don't need them. We're young, we're strong. We can bring this, you know, these plannings or these plans in our life on our own. We don't need the older people. What happens is the wisdom that godly people accumulate as they walk with God and they live it is priceless. You will need that kind of counsel whenever you're doing anything for the Lord. Ministry, church, business, whatever it is. The elderly people who walk with the Lord are irreplaceable. And they know what they're telling you when they tell you something. So young people, don't shrug your shoulders. Ah, mom, ah, dad, you know. You don't know anything, man. I've got it together. And then all of a sudden you hit the tree trunk, boom. And then you go, what happened? Well, you didn't listen. The counsel of the elderly is a very precious thing in the eyes of God. We are to honor the elderly. Tenemos que honrar a los ancianos. Tenemos que recibir de su consejo. It reminded me of Rehoboam, right? When he did not listen to the elderly counsel that he had in the elders, and he wanted to hang out with his buddies and take their advice, and what happened to the kingdom of Israel? Divided, right? Fell. And this is what happens. El rey Rehoboam en las escrituras, ¿verdad? Que no hacía caso y no quería el consejo de los ancianos, nomás tomaba a sus amigos. Y allí tenía su consejo. ¿Qué le pasó a él? Cayó Israel, ¿verdad? Y se metió el enemigo. That's what happens when young people do not take counsel that is valuable. They will in turn fall because of their rebellion in their heart. So I'm just telling the young people, make sure you listen to the counsel of your parents, your grandparents that are walking with the Lord, that have a good testimony. You make sure you listen to what they are telling you. It'll be a blessing in your life, okay? One of the things is that wisdom will keep you safe from a lot of errors if you listen to it. Esa sabiduría te va a proteger de muchas cosas, muchos errores y dolores también en la vida, si nomás la cuidas, okay? Vamos a Levítico 19. Versículo 32. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. We are to honor the elderly always. Debemos de honrar a los ancianos siempre. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. That's a direct order. Listen to the elderly in your life. Delante de las canas te pondrás en pie. Honrarás al anciano y a tu Dios temerás. Yo soy el Señor. Dice el Señor aquí claramente, obedece a los ancianos. See, gray hair is not a sign of disgrace as we go up in age. It is something, remember, that is a crown of splendor in the eyes of God. El de ser canoso, el de ser ya más anciano, aunque nos duelan los huesos y todo eso, es algo que el Señor dice, es un honor que estás en mí. Y yo quiero todavía usar tu vida. Hay mucho anciano también que dice, ya no voy a hacer nada, ya estoy muy viejito. No, no hay retiramiento hasta que el Señor te dice, ya vengo por ti. See, one of the things about the elderly too, sometimes they give up too quick. They say, no, I give up, I can't contribute anything. Yes, you can. There's a lot of elderly people that can be prayer warriors, continue to get on their knees for the younger people in the congregations, in their families. So you're never really done until the Lord says, that's it, I'm taking you home. So do not ever think you're too old to be effective in the body of Christ. Nunca pienses que estás muy anciano para ser efectivo en el cuerpo de Cristo. Dios nos puede usar hasta nuestro último respiro. Amen. We can be used until our last breath. Okay? So, if you are turning up in age, just get more into the Lord. And humble yourself more, understanding that He wants to move in the spirit in your life now. More than the physical, He's trying to teach you to tear down strongholds, the powers of Satan in your life. The things that you know you can be effective in. Do not give up. Continue to work hard. Nunca se dejen por vencidos. Acuérdense, ancianos se necesitan para la guerra espiritual. Y se necesitan, ¿verdad?, peleando. Okay, so la edad no garantiza la sabiduría. Pero la edad, después de someterte a Dios, te trae muchas recompensas. See, one of the things, age doesn't guarantee wisdom. But if you're walking with the Lord closely, and you are given longer life on this planet, and you use that wisdom for God's glory and for His honor. Okay, so take the time now to gain it. Lord, I need wisdom. And so you stay in the Word. God will grant you the wisdom to be able to help others around you. Okay? El Señor te va a dar bendición. Look at verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Mejor es el lento para ira que el poderoso, y el que domina su espíritu que el que toma una ciudad. Now this is an interesting verse. And what it's saying is, if you're slow to anger, you possess an ability that God has given you that is powerful in God's eyes. Si tú estás caminando tardo en la ira, ¿verdad? Tienes una habilidad grande en los ojos de Dios. More valuable than someone who will defeat a city and take over it. Más valoroso, ¿verdad?, que una persona que toma y vence una ciudad y la toma en victoria. What he's saying here, look at the difference. When you are walking with the Lord, and one of the things that He says to you here in the scripture, He says, if you're slow to anger, it is more of a blessing than a person who takes over a city through force, through anger, through weapons. He says, you're way ahead of the game. You're understanding that the battle belongs to the Lord. That is more precious than anything. Lo que está diciendo aquí, ¿verdad?, el Señor en las Escrituras, que si tú entiendes, ¿verdad?, el poder de Dios y quién te está mandando a hacer cosas y lo haces en humildad y eres tardo para la ira, eres, tienes herramienta más poderosa que un hombre que quiere conquistar una ciudad por fuerza, por armas y destruirla. Dice, tú tienes control propio. Sí, you have self-control. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, as long as you remain there, remember, you are displaying power from within that comes from the Lord. Entre te quedes con dominio propio, estás mostrando poder, ¿verdad?, dentro de ti. That's more important than taking cities by force. Es más importante que tomando las ciudades por fuerza. Let's go to Psalm 32, verses 8 to 9. Vamos al Salmo 32, versículos 8 y 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. In other words, rebellious, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Versículo 8. Yo te haré saber y te enseñaré el camino en que debes de andar. Te aconsejaré con mis ojos puestos en ti. No seas como el ceballo o como el mulo que no tiene entendimiento, cuyos areos incluyen bocado y freno para sujetarlos, porque si no, no se acercan a ti, ¿verdad? Entonces lo que está diciendo el Señor, no seas cabezón. No seas cabezona, yo ya tengo tu senda puesta. Lo que pasa, quieres hacer como el caballo, ¿verdad? Que tiene ahí el freno, ¿verdad? Y tiene estas cosas, la brida, y se quiere ir su propio modo. Y dice, te tienes que someter a mi voluntad. And one of the things that the Lord is saying is, you have to submit to my will. Okay? And so, in planning, effectively for Christ, you have to submit to his will. And that may require, right, that you take your time and you say, okay, Lord, I get it. I'm rushing all over. I'm hitting all different things. You know, they're trying to do things my way. And you're telling me, slow down. So that I can be able to think clearly and effectively in where you want me in the next step in life. El Señor te quiere bendecir, ¿verdad? Y te está cuidando tu caminar. Pero muchas veces somos rebeldes y no queremos someternos. Y dice, Señor, ándale pues, calabaza, toma otra vuelta alrededor del desierto. And so the Lord says, okay, be stubborn. Take another lap around the desert. The promised land is right there. It's up to you. What are you going to do with what I'm giving you, wisdom-wise? ¿Qué vas a hacer con lo que te estoy dando? Sabiduría, mente, ¿verdad? Entonces, mucho cuidado. Okay, and look at verse 33. Y luego miren el versículo 33 de Proverbios 16. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. La suerte se echa en el regazo, mas del Señor viene toda decisión. Okay, the lot is cast. What does that mean? The dice, right? Las suertes, los dados, ¿verdad? Dice que se ponen. But every decision is from the Lord. Dice aquí, pero todas las decisiones son del Señor, right? So we can make all kinds of plans. Podemos hacer muchas clases de planes. Podemos usar razonamiento. We can use reasoning, logic, luck, lógico, suerte. Pero Dios ultimadamente está en control de todos nuestros planes. See, it is God who is in complete control of our planning. The lot is cast into the lap. ¿Verdad? La suerte se pone allí, ¿verdad? Delante del Señor, en el regazo. Pero ¿qué dice el Señor? Yo voy a hacer lo que voy a hacer para tu vida, si de veras soy tu Señor. See, what the Lord is saying, look, if I'm really Lord and Savior, Lord means you submit to me completely. And all your planning and all the things you do, I am your Lord, not just your Savior. I want to be effective in the way you lead your life in order to glorify me. El Señor quiere ser glorificado, ¿verdad? And so, anytime you make a plan, you roll the dice. But apart from God, it's not going to be anything good if it's not connected to the Lord. Cada vez que planeas sin Él y tiras los dados, ¿verdad? Vas a hacer planes que te van a afectar. See, to cast the lot was to use some tool of chance to make a choice. And they used to do it in the Old Testament. ¿Verdad? Cuando ponían estos dados y los echaban las suertes, ¿verdad? Eran una herramienta que ellos tomaban para hacer un escoger, ¿verdad? There was times in the Old Testament that they would use the dice to cast or divide the land of Israel back in the day. And so, among the tribes, they would cast lots. Para dividir la tierra en el Antiguo Testamento de Israel, muchos echaban suertes, ¿verdad? Look at Numbers 26:55. But the land shall be divided by lot. They shall receive their inheritance according to the names of the tribes of the father. And this is what happened in Israel. Okay? En Israel se ponían los dados, pero la tierra se dividirá por suerte, recibirán su heredad según los nombres de los tribus de sus padres. So así se dividía la tierra, ¿verdad? También, ¿verdad? Para poder poner trabajadores en el templo, también se hacían suertes. Even to assign workers in the temple, they used to cast lots as well. Joshua 14:2, Josué 14, versículo 2. But a lot of their inheritance, as the Lord commanded through Moses, for the nine tribes and the half tribes. Por suerte recibieron su heredad tal como el Señor había ordenado por medio de Moisés, a las nueve tribus y a la media tribu. Okay, so even that was to arrange workers for the temple, so they would divide them up by lots. There was another thing. The disciples used lots, remember, to replace Judas, when Judas was replaced by Matthias, right? And so one of the things is that was in Acts chapter 1, verse 26. Hechos 1, 26. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Echaron suertes, y la suerte cayó sobre Matías, y fue contado con los 11 apóstoles. Okay, so lo que pasó allí, ¿verdad?, nos debe de enseñar a nosotros. Ya no tenemos que estar poniendo suertes. Ya no tenemos que estar tirando dados. See, what Scripture teaches us, now we have God and the Word to guide us. We don't have to be casting lots anymore. We don't have to be like in Las Vegas when we're gambling with our life. Our life is secure in Christ. Nuestra vida está segura en el Señor, ¿verdad? Y ya no tenemos que estar tirando suertes, a ver si me sale esto bueno o no, voy a calar esto o no, no, me pongo a orar. Y le comenzó a pedir al Señor por sabiduría, Señor, guíame para hacer lo correcto. See, now that I know what God is requiring of me as I plan, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm praying more, I'm seeking God more and asking Him for His direction. It's not a blind leap of faith, it's a calculated one where I'm trusting the Lord to guide me. And this is how we now plan as Christians. We don't do things our way because His ways are much higher than ours, His thoughts are much higher than ours. And they're more effective once you submit to God completely. Cuando te sometes al Señor completamente, los planes te van a salir mejor. The Puritans, when they came up upon this planet, right? And they were here. They had a lot of plans. But they would pray, God's will be done. Los puritanos en antiguos, cuando vinieron aquí a la tierra, ellos buscaban de Dios. Y le pedían a Dios, hágase tu voluntad. La gente de ahora, ¿verdad? Ahí anda con las tarjetas, ¿verdad? De tarot, y ahí andan haciendo los horoscopios y todas estas cosas. Ese no es el modo del cristiano. El cristiano se pone en la palabra y estudia, ¿verdad? Para saber la voluntad de Dios. See, people today using tarot cards and horoscopes and psychics, I call them psychos, but all these people, they're all looking for answers to life when the Christian already has them. And all he has to do is get on his knees and submit all his life to the Lord. And the Lord will direct his paths, right? Lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge God. No andes, ¿verdad?, recargándote en tu entendimiento. Reconoce a Dios. And one of the things he will do, he will direct your paths. Dice la palabra Proverbios 3, 5 y 6. That's not on there, but one of the things is he will direct your paths. Él va a dirigir tu planificar. So don't take things upon yourself anymore. Yes, there's going to be things you can do, right? And you've consulted God. That's fine. But what I'm saying is in the major planning of your life, make sure to get on your knees before you even ask one thing. And that is, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. Señor, hágase tu voluntad en mi vida. It's hard, right? Because we're so gear-driven to do things on our own. And God says, look, you've tried your way. Where are you at right now? Where have you gotten? Change the way you plan, humble yourself, and I will redirect you. And that's what I love about the Lord. It's never too late to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the plans I've made on my own instead of seeking you first. ¿Verdad, Señor? Él conoce. Cuando tú le dices al Señor, Señor, ayúdame a planificar. Ha hecho tantas cosas en mi fuerza y en mi habilidad, pero Señor, no me ha salido nada bien. Me someto mejor y deja que se haga tu voluntad en mi vida, te la rindo. Don't be like the horse with the bit and bridle. No seas, ¿verdad?, como el caballo con la brida y el freno. Sométete a Dios. Esa es la parte donde más es difícil para mucha gente. No entienden que cuando tú mueres, Él puede vivir. When you die, He can live. Okay? So today, as we're learning how to plan, those are powerful things he's taught us, right? And if we're going to plan victoriously and effectively, we have to be aware of how to do it. And this is what the word does. It prepares us. It equips us to plan better. La palabra nos enseña a equiparnos mejor y planificar mejor. God is in complete control or he's not in your life. Is God in complete control or is he not? ¿Está Dios en completo control o no? Si está, muere para que él viva. If he is, die to self and let him resurrect. And he will accomplish his sovereign purpose. Él va a cumplir su propósito soberano sobre tu vida. Amén.